welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and get started here in the Word of God. We're going to start here in a passage found in the book of Romans, and this is the Apostle Paul kind of describing a situation, kind of his best attempt, you could say, to live for God. And this is the way he describes it. He says, "For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it's good. But now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to this law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Can anybody here empathize with what the Apostle Paul is talking about here? All right. This is really is kind of almost schizophrenic as it sounds to read. It really well describes this inward struggle that we all deal with as believers, as Christians, you know? And you can see as he's going through this frustration, because I know God's good. There's something about my inward man that knows he's good, he's right, I want to live for him, but the more I try, the worse it gets, and I just fail, and I flop all over the place. But I want us to look at something, to take a kind of a look at this passage of Scripture, and I've highlighted certain spots in it to try to bring out a certain continuity of thought. You'll see over and over he's saying, "I will to do, but I don't practice it. I will not to do, that I do. To will is present, you know, but how to perform, I don't find it." You know, so he's going to say, "I will to do, I will not to do, I will to do." You can see that he's trying to live for God here on his own willpower. I will to do this, I'm willing, but it's not working. And then finally, as he gets, you know, goes through, I will, he gets so, frustrated, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" This is a powerful conclusion that the Apostle Paul comes to in his attempts to try to live for God from the strength of his own willpower. And as he's coming to this conclusion, he realizes, "I need help. All my best attempts, all my plans, all my strategies, all my different angles at coming at this thing to beat it and defeat it, I keep finding new ways to fail. My willpower isn't getting it done. My good intentions aren't getting it done. Who will deliver me from this body of death?" Then he goes on to give the answer. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death. Where is that law of sin and death? In the middle of the section, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. If you can think of it as a tug of war, you got the law of sin and death over here, and you got your willpower over here, and the law of sin and death just wins every time. But the Apostle Paul's saying something is changing now. He's saying, I don't just have willpower over here anymore. Something happened in Christ. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And a lot of times in our Christian walk, we can kind of get stuck here and think, oh, I'm glad I know Jesus. I'm glad I'm going to go to heaven when I die. But, I've kind of got the... We need to know that there is victory here, that there is nothing here that we have to, by God's design, stay in bondage to, but that there is help. And the important thing that the Apostle Paul brings out here is that even though we go through this, I will, I'm frustrated, he went through it too. In a sense, we don't have to take that personal. It's the condition we've been born into. If you're struggling and you keep losing and losing, it doesn't mean you're just that different. You're a certain kind of Christian that can't be free. No, it just means you need some more power over here. You need some more power on your end of the rope here. And this is the power that the Apostle Paul found. He found that there's a law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus that makes us free from the law of sin and death. That my willpower in of itself just doesn't have the strength to live for God. I need help. You know, you think of the Apostle Peter when he walked on the water. Now, the Apostle Peter was a stubborn guy, all right? He almost had kind of a reputation for being stubborn and maybe strong-willed. But I don't care how strong-willed you are, you can't walk on water. I don't care how determined you are, and you can't. It's impossible to walk on water. You know, liquid water, not frozen water. You know, ice fishermen around here, we got to clarify everything. So, but yeah, your stubbornness can't win the victory. You need help. You need help to walk on water. You need something supernatural to walk on water. So we're going to talk this morning about willpower versus spirit power. Because sometimes, and this is where the enemy just jumps on our shoulder and condemns us. You're a horrible Christian. There's something about you. There's just something about you. There's nothing about you. You're born into the human condition. We all got the same stuff. We're all dealt the same thing. We all have the same kind of flesh. There's nothing about you, I'm saying in a negative sense. There's obviously something wonderful about you in the God creative sense, all right? But as the enemy's jumping on you and making you feel isolated, that there's something unique about you that's bad, that you can't live for God like everybody else can, that's wrong. There's nothing unique about you in that sense. We're all born into the same human condition, sinful condition. That's why I'm glad Paul articulates his own frustration in trying to live for God. There's a divine empathy here that God's trying to get us on the same page to pull us into a place of victory. But there is willpower and there is spirit power. And when it seems like I can't win, I can't win, just says, okay, all right. I need some more power on this end of the rope. There's nothing uniquely bad about me. I just need a strength that I don't have in my own muscles and my own arms and my own, mental framework. I need help. And so we're going to look at willpower and we're going to look at spirit power. We're going to look at them side by side. So we're going to start with willpower. We'll end up with spirit power. And the first thing we want to look at in terms of willpower is the problem with willpower. The problem with willpower. Now, willpower has, we could see from the Apostle Paul's, exhortation that he had great intentions. Willpower plus great intentions still equals defeat. Do you know your good intentions can't put you over the top? We need something more. The problem with willpower, and this is kind of why we really ultimately went from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, because as we continue reading in Romans, we find out the problem. He said, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. For God achieved what the law was unable to accomplish because the law was limited by the weakness of human nature. Yet God sent his son in human form to identify with human weakness. Clothed with humanity, God's son gave his body to be the sin offering so that God could once and for all condemn the guilt and the power of sin. All right, in other words, under the law, you know, under the letter of the law, all they had was the law and they had willpower. It wasn't happening. It couldn't be done. There was no way to successfully fulfill the law on the strength of willpower. But God did something. He sent Jesus. The law wasn't weak in that there was something wrong with the law. There was nothing wrong with the law. The law was perfect. The weakness was our inability to keep it because all we had to work with was willpower. But now God did something different in this covenant. When he sent Jesus, he sent him to condemn sin in the flesh. He condemned the guilt of sin, the shame of sin, the penalty of sin, and the power of sin. That's the important thing to recognize when we look at this. In other words, you know, I know that as a believer in Jesus, that I can't save myself. I have no ability. All my willpower to do good works could never save myself. I could never, like we were singing this morning, it's only by the blood. It's only by the blood. You want to be righteous? You want to, that comes through the blood. It's the gift of righteousness. Yes, I stand in a righteousness. That's a gift. I'm found in him, not having my own righteousness. I had to stop striving. And that's, again, what the song is saying. It's not about striving or perfection. At some point, I had to wave the white flag. I had to surrender. I had to believe on Jesus and receive him as my Lord and Savior. I had to come to that great conclusion that I'm saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God. I can't save myself. I need help. That's a profound conclusion you have to come to. The Apostle Paul comes to that same conclusion when it comes here. I can't live for God in the strength of my own power. I can't live for God by myself. I need help to live for God. I got to humble myself. In the same way I humbled myself to receive him as Savior, I got to humble myself and realize, nah, it's not going to be at house or my credentials or how many years I went to school or how much Bible I know or all that stuff that I'm resting or leaning on. No, I need power. I need the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus to make me free from the law of sin and death. I'm not talking about how it looks in front of people right now. I'm talking about being free. Being free on the inside. So as we kind of look at this, the Apostle Paul says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for the will is present, but how to perform what is good, I don't find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, I put Galatians 5, 19 through 21 in here because we refer to the flesh, you know? And sometimes we go, what do you mean by the flesh? This is what the Apostle Paul means when he says the flesh. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, which could be covetousness, sorcery, could be pharmakeia, could be drug-related, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. This is the flesh. All of that is addictive in nature. If it's a sexual form of addiction, you know, the first part deals with the sexual stuff. The middle stuff is kind of the relational stuff. The bottom part is kind of the murders, drunkenness, you know, some of that classic things when you think of evil and bad things. But there's different categories that you can see that you might look at that list and say, well, I don't have a problem with that, but yeah, I have a problem with that. You know, it's a big list. And then he says, and the like. So there could be things that are not on this list, but are like that, all right? So all these things are addictive in nature. You know, it's like, I want to stop doing, you know, it could be the adultery, fornication stuff. It could be pornography. I want to stop engaging that. But how do I stop? It could be an alcohol-related thing where it's drunkenness, it's destroying my life. I want to stop drinking, but I can't stop. It could be hatred. I want to stop thinking these vindictive, hateful thoughts of bitterness against people, but I can't stop. It's all flesh. It's when you can't stop. I want to, I will to, I desire to. The inward man wants to be free from all those different ways that the flesh can trap you up. Want to be free. But you need power to overcome those things. And yeah, maybe there's some of those things. I don't have a problem with that and that. There's a few things in there. But here's the deal. When you get serious and want to be free, man, you can look at that list and know that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes you free from that. That's the law of sin and death right there. That's the list of the works of the flesh. If you're going to walk on water, if you're going to walk on that water, if you're going to walk on the water of the law of sin and death, you need the law of the Spirit of life. You can't walk on that water with willpower. You couldn't. Think about that. Man had thousands of years to try to live right. He never could. No one righteous, no, not one. Willpower tried every single way, but you could never live for God. We need help. What are we talking about? We're talking about the problem with willpower. So I'm saying that to say this. If you're in that situation and you see things in that list and it's like, what does the Bible say? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's a completely different way to walk. In other words, I can't stop this. I can't stop thinking about this. Instead of saying, oh, it's just, I'm so, okay. Instead of condemning myself and beating myself up for not being able to stop this, I'm going to realize, hey, there's help here. I was never meant to beat these things on the strength of my will. I was never meant to beat these things on the strength of who I am. There's something, there's a help that I need. Here's a great example I just like to bring out when it comes to the best efforts and the best intentions of willpower. This was, you know, just before Jesus was crucified, you know, betrayed. Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. Jesus said to Peter, assuredly I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he spoke more vehemently, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. Scene two, then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, talking about Peter, surely this fellow, Peter, was with Jesus, for he's a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're saying. Immediately, he was still speaking. The rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. It's a good allegory of how it looks when we do the same thing to God. When we try to live for God on the strength of willpower. Go back here. He said, I will not, he spoke more vehemently, if I have to die with you, if all are made to stumble, I will not stumble. If I have to die with you, I will not deny you. Have you ever done that? Have you ever had that Peter moment where you went to those works of the flesh and you say, I will never do that again, Lord. I promise, never again. I'm done. I die. You have to look at that list and see what that is for you. But you go before the Lord and say, I have died to that, Lord. I will never do that again. And before the rooster crows, you've done it three times. And like Peter, we'll go out and weep bitterly. Ah! Now he's done with me. I have promised him 150 times, and I've broken all 150 promises. He must really hate me. He must really not trust me. He must really be ready to give up on me. There may be people who are ready to give up on you. but he's not ready to give up on you. There may be people who think, okay, that's it, but he's not that way. Because all 150 times, you just had the same problem. And you can go another 200 times, and you'd still have the same problem. There's an adjustment that has to be made. It's not how many times you try. Again, the best intentions and willpower isn't sufficient. God knew we needed more than willpower and intentions. We needed the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. That makes me free from the law of sin and death. So that's what brings us to ultimately what I want to get to this morning, the promise of the spirit power. Man, this is it. This is what makes living for God possible. It's the promise of the power of the Spirit. And this is how the Apostle Paul puts it. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. All right? Remember what Paul said, too. He said, we're not serving in an oldness of the letter anymore. We're serving here in a newness of the Spirit. So here's the answer. You know, it's interesting how God has simplified things in His Word to make it really easy for us to focus on one thing. You know, when it comes to fulfilling the law, He said the whole law is fulfilled in one word, love. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, if you really do that, you're fulfilling the law. You're taking care of it. You're killing all those birds with one stone. Just love, and you're fulfilling the law. Here's another powerful, simple admonition. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is a powerful promise. This is a powerful truth. Now, when we look at the word lust, you know, we definitely have a negative connotation as it relates to sexual lust and whatnot. But the word lust itself in the original Greek is not a negative bad word. It just depends on how it's used. The word lust itself in the original Greek just simply means strong desire. And so it depends on how it's translated into our English Bibles. But here, when we think of lust, that obviously has a negative connotation. But when Jesus was in the Passover meal and he saw his disciples, he said, oh, I have greatly desired to eat this meal with you today. Same Greek word. Strong desire. And so we see there's two strong desires at work here. You see the flesh has a strong desire against the Spirit. Have you noticed that? In this world we live in, there's just a jadedness toward God and spiritual things. There's a strong desire against spiritual things, against God, a blasphemous attitude. Okay? That flesh has a strong desire. Let me say this about me and you. When me and you get in the flesh, we can have a strong desire against the things of God. We can have a jadedness about spiritual things too. You know, we can experience that same thing too. So we notice that that flesh just despises the things of the Spirit. But here's the good news. The Spirit has that strong, and the Spirit against the flesh. That Spirit has that same strong desire against the things of the flesh. That's what I need. I got willpower, I got good intentions, but there's a strong desire of the Spirit I need as I'm doing this against the law of sin and death. So, you know, whatever is in that list, you know, that's on the other side of that rope, that work of the flesh that you've promised to God you would never do again, or you're trying to stop thinking or doing or whatever it is, there's the power of the Spirit that has strong desire against it. And this is where it is amazing. When you experience the power of the Spirit, when you supernaturally don't have a desire and an appetite over something that has eaten your lunch for years, and you are free, and you know where that freedom came from because you tried your 150 consecrations and never got it, but there's something else that's making you free from the law of sin and death, the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. Ah, he that is in you is greater than he that's on the other side of that rope. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you to get victory over that thing. Your willpower can't do it, but there's a strength of spirit that we tap into as believers. This is why, this is what makes really Christianity so beautifully, wonderfully, you got to live for God. You got to love God. You got to walk in the Spirit to experience that power of the Spirit. You can't fake the power of the Holy Spirit. You can fake consecration. You can fake and look good. Religiously, there can be a lot of games and wow, that person. But something you can't fake is when you need power on the other end of that rope, you need God. And it causes you to humble yourself and say, God, I need you. I need your help. I've lost this so many times. I want something, strength. I know you know, you see my heart, you see my intentions, you see my will to want to do the right thing, but I need your help. I need the strength of the Holy Spirit to help me through this. Now, let's kind of take a quick look too at the Apostle Peter. Remember we saw him when he failed before? He wouldn't stand up for Jesus and who he was, but we see fast forward after the resurrection several days, he got in trouble for getting a lame man healed. And so he had to give account for it. And so this is kind of the courtroom scene that Peter's there and he's having to answer what happened. And so it says, the next day the council, the rulers of the elders, and the teachers, the religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because of a good deed done for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. And Peter here did not go out and weep bitterly. What was the difference? He was filled with the Holy Spirit. That was the difference. I mean, Peter had kind of a persona, right? He was kind of this tough guy image, but all his swag could not give him the courage to stand up to the little maiden girl. He had to deny he didn't even know Jesus. But here, he is standing in front of the who's who, of the rulers and the elders, the people who have the greatest power to destroy him. And he's just declaring it, the power of the Holy Spirit. Willpower versus spirit power. Now, when it comes to willpower versus spirit power, it's important to understand that your will does play a role, okay? It's just not your will power. It's your free will decision to walk in the Spirit. Because when I get here and I'm getting pulled over, I've got to decide something. Am I going to reset and play the game again? And play the game again? At some point, I got to say, I got to change the way we're doing this. I need power. I need strength. How does that work? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What does that mean? How does that really work in real life, Paul? For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Here we go. What does that look like in real life? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. There's two kind of surrenders, and there's two kind of frustrations. The two surrenders is you got to surrender and realize, okay, I can't save myself. I need help. I need help. I need God. The other surrender is I can't live for God in my own strength. I need help. I need God. This frustration over here, if you resist that first surrender for Jesus, it's too simple. What do you mean? You just believe on Jesus and you're forgiven and you're cleansed and you're not doing anything? You're not helping anybody? There's nothing about you that is somehow, crediting something? You mean it's just a gift? There is absolutely no boast? Not even a little boast? None. No boast. It is gift. And when you receive it on that basis, you receive something. You receive the gift of forgiveness, the new birth, everything happens. But it's so simple. Now think about this. What if salvation wasn't that simple? What if it required a certain IQ and the ability to be able to process certain multiple levels of spiritual layers to come to the conclusion and crack the code and get saved? It really wouldn't be available for whosoever will, would it? It would just be available for the elite few that could figure it out. God made salvation available to whosoever will, so by design, he had to make it simple that whosoever could believe. And we get that as believers. If we're on the side, you're a believer, you get that. All right, we humbled ourselves. We got to come to that same conclusion over here. Because we understand it's simple, you got to receive Jesus. But when it comes to living for God, we can get complicated again and think, okay, I got to know a bunch of stuff, I got to do a bunch of stuff, now there's going to be a bunch of stuff. If living for God was going to be available for whosoever will, living for God has to be simple too. And it's going to require humility. It's going to require the simplicity, in the same way, the simplicity of just call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. That's simple. Set your mind on things above where Christ is. Set your mind on things above and you will experience the life of the Spirit of God. There's a setting your mind on things above. This is where your will comes in. You see the lights here. They're not being powered by willpower. They're being powered by the electrical spirit, the law of the spirit of electrical life, whatever you want to say. That's what's providing light. But somebody had to flip the switch. It was not a masterful feat to flip that switch. It was just a little decision of your will. But that's where the current began to flow through. It's not mind over matter. It's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus over the law of sin and death. But when we begin to set our minds on things above, you're putting that law of the spirit of life into motion. It is simple. It is available for whosoever will. Whatever economic or social or geographical, to just set your mind on things above. And there's a law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. We did it this morning when we worshiped God. We came here with a lot of different things, a lot of different stuff going on in life, but we made a decision. It is now time to worship. So we gave ourselves permission to be able to look up at those words and begin to worship God. And maybe you even had some things fighting you while you were worshiping, but you continued to worship and continued to set your mind on things above, and you began to experience something. You began to experience the power of the Spirit of God. And that's why you can see the admonitions throughout the New Testament. Paul says, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. How do we set our mind? What does that mean? Here's just one of the examples here. Don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. That's what we're talking about, that strength. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this one. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's really love right there, by the way. Different ways that we begin to get filled with the Spirit. When you begin to set your mind on things above, you read, if you're familiar with Psalm 1, I call him, affectionately call him the Psalm 1 guy. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the path of the sinner. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. That's three choices right there. He does something, though. He delights in the law of the Lord. And in his word, he just meditates day and night. And he's just like a tree planted. And whatever he does just prospers. He's not trying to, he's just delighting in the law of the Lord. He's delighting in the word of God. And this is where it's so beautiful. Because as believers, what that means to set your mind on things above, it has a lot of different avenues. Being in church, fellowshipping, reading the word, worshiping God, you know, listening to teachings, or you know, going out doing things for the kingdom of God. Different ways that we engage ourselves on the things of God. We got to realize that simple act, even though it's just simple to call upon the name of the Lord, it caused the new birth to happen. When I am setting my mind on things above, it's unleashing the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And right now in a church on a Sunday morning, that can seem, yeah, I just want to do that all the time. Well, when you go from here and you go back to regular, you know, life and different things that are going on and the things that are pulling on you and things like that, I'm going to say this, you don't naturally want to set your mind on things above. You don't. It takes faith to set your mind on things above. When you've got things of your flesh that's pulling on you and it's a strong pull, man, I just don't naturally want to set my mind on things above. You do have a body, and it do fights you. It does fight you. Now, you see, one of the ways is speaking to one another. Sometimes there's going to be what the word, the scripture calls the sword of the Spirit, the spoken word of God. You could feel that pull, and you could think in your mind, you know what? I need God's word right now. Maybe that word is just simply this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That could be the word. That could be just the swinging the sword of the Spirit. But when you're in the battle, you don't feel it. And this is where faith comes in. But this is where faith comes in and the power of the Spirit comes in. And this is where you do things different in the 150 times and the consecrations and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, I'm going to do something different now. When I'm feeling this and losing, I'm going to speak. I'm going to do like Jesus did, declare the word of God and speak the word of God. What happens is it interrupts your mind. Theologically, remembering that you should do it doesn't interrupt it. But when you declare something out loud, then all of a sudden there's an interruption and you're thinking about what you're saying. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And all of a sudden, what am I doing? I'm just engaging the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. It's a form of being filled with the Spirit. I'm tapping into the power of the Spirit of the Word of God. I'm saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If that's your one swing of the sword, you can beat anything on the other side of that thing. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. There's a power there. But you got to realize what you're swinging in that moment, you're not swinging your feelings. You don't feel like saying that. I'm just saying, I know it's hard in church. We're in church, right? I'm going to always feel, you know? When you're out and you're in the, that's where it seems uncomfortable. It seems awkward. But this is where the breakthrough is. This is where things change. This is where you invite the presence of God into areas that you've never invited him before. Where you've compartmentalized church and spiritual things and my time and flesh time and grime time and all that. All of a sudden, when I feel that I'm getting pulled, he can come at any time. And I can declare, what's here? There's freedom here. This is where you begin to change here too. This is intimate. This is between you and God. This isn't something that happens on a Sunday morning. This is something that happens in the private places where you're feeling this and you're saying, I can't win this. I need God right here. It's simple. It's just as simple as calling upon the name of the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can. Lord, I can do all things through. And you're not feeling it. You're fighting the good fight of faith, and you're swinging that sword of the Spirit. The word is living. It is powerful. And when you're declaring the words, the power of the Spirit comes through those words. What are we talking about? We're talking about willpower. It can look good in church even. Versus Spirit power. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. If you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and that truth will make you free. It'll win anything. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There is nothing that the law of sin and death can defeat. But there is a different way of thinking. There's a different way of walking as we're beginning to think about and realize willpower, spirit power. And I'm saying that, when it comes to willpower, to not stay in that place of condemnation and defeat, and there's just something about me. No, there is nothing uniquely bad about you at all. You're born into the same condition we all are. And again, it doesn't matter how good you can look at church. It doesn't matter how much Bible you know. It's the Bible you swing when the pressure's on. That's the difference. When the Apostle Peter was getting, do you know this man? No, I don't know. I have no idea who that guy is, you know? But here, he's full of the Holy Spirit. He says, yes, there is no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. Now, he knew they didn't want to hear that. But he wasn't afraid. And he declared it because he was full of the power of the Spirit. Same guy, whether you're full of the power of the Spirit or not. You too. Same guy. And you can look back at times of your life when you've been strong in the Lord and when you've been weak in the Lord. And the difference is who's on this rope with you. Where is your strength coming from? Don't get condemned when you're losing these. Just say, oh, little bell goes off. I need more power over here. All right. I need the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. Lord, show me. And this is where we're all unique. We're all different. There might be some people who just sing all day long. And they're just meditating in the Word just through song and worship. Other people who are meditating the Word. People who are listening to teaching CDs or whatever. I date myself. You find your own way. You know, I've got a little tab that says, think, you know, that scripture here where it says to set your mind on things above. That phrase, things above. So I have a little Excel tab called things above. And so I've just got different stuff. Books and music and teachings and just so I keep it in front of my eyes. Because you know what? You have got a lot of good things that you've seen and heard through the years. Sometimes if you can just put it out there, so when you're in that point of just decision, I can click on it and say, okay, yes, I've got a lot of good stuff I could turn to, go to. Sometimes a song. Sometimes we'll accidentally go into our car with a bad frame of mind, hear a song on the radio, and whoa, praise God. What did you do? You just set your mind on things above through a song. The law of the Spirit of life took over and strengthened you. Willpower versus spirit power. You're doing better than you think. You've got the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's a matter of learning how to just continue to tap into that power and say, God, I can't do this. I need help. I need your help. I need the law of the Spirit of life to make me free from the law of sin and death. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that you provided us with everything that we need to defeat and overcome the law of sin and death. Father, that we overcome. There is process by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, which is the word of God, the grace and the power of God. We just thank you for that ability. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Spirit. It's by the power of your Spirit that I overcome the law of sin and death. You know my stuff. You know my promises. I look to you this morning. I need help. The help of your Spirit. Your Spirit has strong desire against the flesh. I need that strong desire working in me to overcome. And I thank you that I have it and can do all things through the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that. Praise God. That just let that truth be a part of your journey, you know, as you're learning to walk with God, grow with God, and different things like that. And I say that to address those issues where we're going out and weeping bitterly because we failed the Lord again. We broke the promise. We said we would never do it. Just to realize, hey, okay, again, nothing about me. It's like I say, don't take it personal. You're born into this condition, but we have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's what it's there for. We're not here to look good at church on a Sunday morning. We're here to be free from everything that's plaguing our mind, anything that's coming against. That there's, he said, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When we begin to walk in that, we don't just begin to win these wars. There's real estate in our mind that gets taken back. Where there was bitterness over here, there's life and peace. Where there was addiction, life and peace. bandwidth to hear from God, to see and to know what he wants me to do. It's amazing. He wants us to enjoy that life. He came that we'd have that kind of life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Praise God.